Okay, so reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 18, text 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aho Vichitram Bhagavad Vicheshtatam Ganantam Jano Ayang He Mishan na pasyati dhyayan asad yarhi vikarma sevitum nirritya putram pitaram jajivishyate. Aho vichitram bhagavat vicheshtitam. Nantam janoyam hi mishanna pasyate. Jayan sadyar hi vikarma sevitom. Nirritya putram pitaram jajivishyate. No. Nirritya putram pitaram jajivishyate. Aho vichitram bhagavat vicheshtitam. Gnantam janoyam hi mishanna pasyate. Jayana sadyari vikarma sevitum. Niritya putram pitaram jajivishyate. Aho vichitram bhagavat vicheshtitam. Gnantam janagyam himishanna pasyate. Jayana sadyarhi vikarma sevitum. Niritya putram pitaram jajivishyate. Okay. Anyone?
Aho vichitram bhagavat vicheshtitam.
Aho vichitram bhagavat vicheshtitam.
Nantam janoyam hi mishanna pasyati.
Nantam janoyam hi mishanna pasyati.
Jayam asadyar hi vikarma sevitum.
Jayam asadyar hi vikarma sevitum.
Nirkritya putram pitaram jijivishati.
Aho vichitram bhagavat vicheshtitam.
Nantam janoyam hi mishanna pasyati.
ladies. Aho! Alas! Vichitram! Wonderful! Bhagavat Vicheshtitam! The pastimes of the Lord. Gdantam! Death. Janaha! A person. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I am this. He certainly. Mishan. Although seen. Napashyati. Does not see. Jayan. Thinking about. Asat. Material happiness. Yarhi. Because. Vikarma, forbidden activities, like having your mobile phone on during class. I better turn mine off. Anyway. That's interesting how Krishna said forbidden activities. So... Sevitum, to enjoy. Niritya, burning. Putram, sons. Pitaram, the father. Jijivishati, desires a long life. So translation, alas, how wonderful it is that the foolish materialist does not heed the great danger of impending death. Impending means it's coming in the future. He knows that death will surely come, yet he is nevertheless callous. Callous means he doesn't feel anything. And neglectful. If his father dies, he wants to enjoy his father's property, and if his son dies, he wants to enjoy his son's possessions as well. In either case, he heedlessly tries to enjoy material happiness with the acquired money. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Material happiness means to have good facilities for eating, sleeping, sexual intercourse, and defense. Within this world, the materialistic person lives only for these four principles of sense gratification, not caring for the impending danger of death. After his father's death, a son tries to inherit his money and use it for sense gratification. Similarly, one whose son dies tries to enjoy the possessions of his son. Sometimes the father of a dead son even enjoys his son's widow. Materialistic persons behave in this way. Thus Shukadeva Goswami says, how wonderful are these pastimes of material happiness transacted by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, materialistic persons want to commit all kinds of sinful activities. But without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one can do anything. Why does the Supreme Personality of Godhead permit sinful activities? The Supreme Lord does not want any living entity to act sinfully, and he begs him through his good conscience to refrain from sin. For when someone insists upon acting sinfully, the Supreme Lord gives him the sanction to act at his own risk. Matak smirtir jnanam apolinam cha. No one can do anything without the sanction of the Lord. But he is so kind that when the conditioned soul persists in doing something, the Lord permits the individual soul to act at his own risk. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, sons always outlive their fathers in other planetary systems and in other lands in this universe, especially on Swargaloka. However, on this planet Earth, the son often dies before his father, and the materialistic father is pleased to enjoy the possessions of his son. Neither the father nor the son can see the reality. Both of them are awaiting death. When death comes, however, all their plans for material enjoyment are finished. Aho vichitram bhagavat vicheshtitam gnantam janoyam himishanna pashyati jayanna sadyarhi vikarma sevitom nivritya putram pitaram jajivishati. So, Omagana Timranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, the principle behind this particular explanation is that of greed. And greed is basically lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear, all these different anarthas are the opposite of love. And generally, we expect the children, as described here, the children to love the father, or the father to love the children. But a materialistic society, especially in Kali Yuga, there is not that love. That someone is just waiting for the father to die, or someone is just waiting for the son to die. I can tell a very interesting story that illustrates this point from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's work, Jiva Dharma. So there's many nice stories in the Jiva Dharma that illustrate the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and the one story illustrates this particular verse and purport. Once upon a time, as all stories go, there was a man who is quite greedy. Greedy means that he didn't spend money on anything. He just wanted to save it. So he kept saving all of his money. Even if a Vaishnava came to his house, he would just shut the door. Of course, our injunction is that if a Vaishnava comes to your house, you're even supposed to stop the deity worship to receive the Vaishnava if there's no one else to receive him. You're supposed to offer everything you have to the Vaishnava, whatever he wants, and then if there's something left over for you, then you can eat it. And that's, of course, considered one of the greatest charities. I mean, there's a story like that in the Mahabharata about the mongoose. Some of you heard that story? No, no one's heard the story. I'll tell it. So, once upon a time, Yudhisthira Maharaj did this great sacrifice, you know, Rajasuya sacrifice, and feeding the Brahmins, and everybody else was so pleased with him. But there was a mongoose. The mongoose is like a big rat, about this big. Do you have mongooses here? No. In Fiji, we have mongooses. Big. They're kind of cute. So they brought the mongooses there to eat snakes, because they eat snakes. So this mongoose was half gold. And he said, this sacrifice, the mongoose, I guess, was at the sacrifice of Yudhisthira Maharaj. And he said, this sacrifice is not worth one-tenth of the sacrifice that was done by a very poor Brahmin. And everybody was shocked to hear the talking mongoose. So many of these Vedic stories have talking animals, isn't it? Especially in the Hita Pradesh. So the mongoose was saying that everyone's shocked. You know, what's happening here? This mongoose, he's offending Maharaj Yudhisthira. But Maharaj Yudhisthira was so humble that he didn't take offense. So Maharaj Yudhisthira said, all right, let the mongoose explain the whole thing. So what happened is that the mongoose began to explain that once upon a time there was this Brahmin family, and I'll just make it real short, that was very poor, and they were living from silochana, that means picking up the seeds in the fields. I mean, sometimes Brahmins live by charity, sometimes by different means, but they don't take a job. Brahmins don't take jobs. Anyway, so he was living like that, and with his wife and kids, and what happened is they were starving to death because there was a drought. That means there was no rain. So they were starving to death, and they just had like a few grains that they cooked somehow or other. They cooked it. And this Brahmin came to the house, and he was testing them, of course. And they offered everything to the Brahmin who came to the house. The Brahmin was one of the demigods, you know, testing. Sometimes the demigods test you like this. Just when you want to eat the Sunday feast, a demigod will come and eat everything, and there won't be anything left over for you. So when we have the Sunday feast, we should feed the guests first. That's the moral of that particular story. Anyway, so then the guests left, and the people were blessed, and there were a few grains left on the floor, and the mongoose just rolled on those grains, and half his body became gold. Story of the golden mongoose. And so the mongoose was explaining that charity is a very important aspect of Krishna consciousness. And of course we know that Prabhupada gave instructions for those who are getting married that before they eat they should cry out, right? So we see so many white dhotis here. So many people getting married now. Oh my God. So... Ananta's freaking out. But then, you know, they're supposed to distribute prasadam and help come to the temple. They should help more than the brahmacharis. That's the instruction. So the point is, Prabhupada said the grahasa's business before they eat is to cry out like three times, if anyone's hungry, let them come eat. And they're supposed to cry out in a public place, not just find an isolated place and cry. Is anyone hungry? So, in other words, one of the businesses of the grahasas, because the grahasas are the stomach of society, that doesn't mean they just eat for everybody else, but they provide the nutrition for everybody else. In fact, the grahasas are supposed to maintain the temple, and not just paying me to say this. So they have to maintain the temple, pay the bill, you know, do all the work. And the brahmacharya should just be free, you know, just chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and you'll be free and live with Krishna eternally, you know. So getting back to the Jiva Dharma story, which I started, this Brahmin... And he was a Brahmin, and he just was so greedy. He's just as greedy as anything, and he wouldn't feed anybody, wouldn't even buy a sari for his wife, just made his sari wear old rags. But his wife liked it too, because they were both greedy. Greedy couple. And they just thought saving money. Of course, we know from the Bhagavatam that one who hoards money, then that's a place where Kali resides, right? Kali resides where, of course, the four regulated principles are being broken, but if someone's hoarding money, and being cruel to others. It says that if one doesn't receive a guest, or even if one receives a guest and looks at the guest like with staring eyes, that the guest is eating too much, then the punishment is the vultures of hell go and pluck his eyeballs out. That's Haribo. He should feel compassion, not Haribo, he's suffering. So the vultures of hell, they just... Oh my God. So, Pariksit Maharaj didn't say Hari Bol after hearing the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. Anyway, because it's so important, this Vaishnava hospitality. So, he was real greedy. And his wife was the same, and he had like three children, and they were exactly the same. He raised them up in the same way. My dear little children, be nice, greedy, whatever. And so the children imbibed his spirit, which is what's being described here in this particular verse, you know, that people are greedy. And basically there was no love. It was just like greed. The whole family was based on greed. You know, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, the anarthas. So eventually he was noticing his children were neglecting him. You know, as you get older, you like to have your children take care of you and do things for you. Because, you know, it's hard when you're like 70 years old. Unless you're a pure devotee like Prabhupada, then you just go alone to the Western world. I mean, that's really amazing. Most of you don't understand what it means to be 70. You will. And then you'll remember this class. So anyway, so he wanted his children to take care of him, but they weren't. They were neglecting him. So he thought, you know, the way to get my children to take care of them is to take care of me. Is to offer them some money. But I don't want to give them money now because I have to keep it all. So he said, I'm going to offer the money that whoever takes care of me the best, he gets to, he and his wife, of course, they were married to greedy women too. Nice couples. They get to keep my hidden money. I have some hidden money. So he explained that to his children. He met them all together. He had an ishtagoshti with his children. My dear children, whoever takes care of me the best, you know, whoever does the best. He thought there'd be a competition, like a Sankirtan marathon or something. We'll get the money. And they heard it. Then they had their own little meeting that night. And they discussed, why are we going to wait till the old man dies? Let's get rid of him right away. Jai, panchatattva ki jai. So they were thinking, let's get rid of the old guy immediately, and his our mother. But they were thinking, killing them's not a good idea. Why don't we just steal their money, send them on pilgrimage? So they made a plan. They said to their parents, you know, we really love you. And actually, sometimes you hear this statement, love, because it means I want something from you. Actually, it says, there's this statement in the Shastras, too much devotion is the sign of a thief. Did you ever hear that statement before? No? Too much devotion is a sign of a thief. Just like if you go to to buy a car and you meet the salesman, he loves you. He'll remember your name for like 30 years. You know, I went to see a salesman one time. I bought a car like 10 years before. He said, oh, Mr. Swami, how are you in the Swami family? And I said, well, I'm a sannyasi. There's no Swami family. He said, okay, Hare Krishna. He said, I really like your movement. You Hare Krishnas are so wonderful. And I was thinking, uh-oh. So fortunately, I had with me one of my disciples who was expert in getting the best deal and made the salesman cry. Disciple's name is Gopal. Some of you may know him. Anyway, I was just shivering. So the point is, too much devotion is a sign of a thief. So children, they said to the parents, you know, we really love you a lot, and we think that you should go on pilgrimage to Sridhar Mayapur. So, and we'll send this nice Vaishnavi lady to accompany you. You know, it's just, we love you. We realized that today. We just met today and decided we love you. after hearing about your money. So then the parents thought, wow, this is so wonderful. Our children love us. You know, just we have to understand what love is. They really love us. So they thought, well, let's go on pilgrimage. All right, so they went on pilgrimage, and they went some distance away. And what happened is the children broke into their room, dug up the floor, because that's where they usually hide wealth in India. In case you ever go to India, you want to find someone's wealth, it's in the floor. That's the standard. So they found the wealth and got, you know, really ecstatic, not spiritually ecstatic, they're just, wow, this is great. Let's divide up the wealth honestly. You understand the contradiction? Like the thieves say, let's divide the wealth up honestly. So they divided the wealth up. And the parents, somehow or other, they got word of what their kids did. And they thought, they were depressed. And they thought, let's go back. They love us. And the nice Vaishnavi who was with them, she understood really what their mentality was. She said, what are you, crazy? If you go back, they'll kill you. And the parents were thinking, oh my God, there's our children. And so finally, they proceeded to Sridhar Mayapur and had some good association, Sridhar Mayapur. But they had learned their lesson by then about material love, which is based upon, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. That's material love. It's like a business exchange. Hello, let's make a deal. So then they actually started doing business again. The man was naturally inclined towards business. He opened up a grocery store. But then he started to feed Vaishnavas with the money. He learned his lesson. And then as he began to feed Vaishnavas with his money, he became more and more wealthy, and he was able to give his wealth to help the Vaishnavas and had a happy ending. He and his wife went back to home, back to Godhead. So, that's nice. That you can say Hari Bol about. So they, and the children went to hell. So that's, don't say Hari Bol about that. But horrible, not Hari Bol. That's what sometimes people think when we say Hari Bol, they think horrible. In Fiji, the ladies all call their husbands Hari Bol, you know. So that sometimes the people on the outside, they're thinking, why are you calling your husband horrible? Horrible. Come here, horrible. So anyway, so the point of the story is that, you know, love means not only for one's children, but it means for all living entities. Of course, we have this statement in the Isopanishad, was yastu sarvani bhutani atmana ivanu pashati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato navigupshate, that one should actually see everybody as connected with Krishna, as part and parcel of Krishna, mami vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. And then we see our family relationship. And one who becomes Krishna conscious comes to the point of caring more about others than he or she cares about themselves. Of course, that's called para dukaduki. Like Vasudev Dat, who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered to be the personification of compassion, he was ready to stay in the material world for an unlimited amount of time so that everyone could go back to home, back to Godhead. So, how do we get, let's get back to the point, how do we get rid of this greed, which is actually this lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, whatever it is. It's actually impossible, I hate to discourage you, but it's impossible to get rid of lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and all those other things directly. Because the more you think about lust or anger or greed, Jayato Vishakpun Sang Sangostesha Bajayate, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, Kama Krota Bajayate, the more you get attached to the object. You know, if I tell you, of course everyone here likes to eat, of course the favorite food of all the devotees is pizza. So if I start describing pizza and tell you not to get attached to it, like if I say, you know, nice cheese and olives on top, and, you know, nice crust and tomato sauce, I mean, practically you're all starting to salivate when I'm talking about, you know, in other words, right? You know, very nice, you know, pizza, pizza. Even if I chant pizza on my beads or something, then you... Kirtan. Then you start to... Don't say Haribo. So... then you start to get attached to it. So simply being negative towards something does not give us detachment. Prabhupada said, attachment and repulsion are opposite sides of the same thing, the same coin, so to speak. Like the typical story Prabhupada told about two sannyasis walking down the road. One helped the lady across the river, and the other one was just like angry at the man at the sannyasi who helped the lady cross the river. And finally, after 25 kilometers, he tells the one who helped the lady across the river, "Why did you do that?" Ha! And the sannyasi who helped the lady cross the river said that I only carried her for like 10 meters. You carried her for 25 kilometers. Or sometimes, you know, you find brahmacharis like criticizing the householders. And there was one story that, Prabhupada's story, you know the story of Sakshi Gopal. Sakshi Gopal is a story where the younger Brahmin made Krishna walk all the way across India. I think most of you know that story. I'm not going to tell the whole story. But anyway, he convinced Krishna to walk all the way across India. Prabhupada said he was a pure devotee. Then one sannyasi asked Prabhupada, if he was such a pure devotee, why did he want to get married? You know, if he was a pure devotee. And Prabhupada looked at that sannyasi and said, because no one would have you. In other words, you're not attractive enough. No lady would marry you. Or you're too old or ugly or something. then you're saying this. And so, of course, Prabhupada was joking. Obviously was joking. So, if we think about something in a negative way, then we get more attached to it. And so basically we have to think of something related to Krishna. And of course there's that verse, Mato Matir Krishna Partos Vatova Mato Padye the Graha Vratanamandana Gopir Vishatam Tumashram Punak Punas Char Vitacharvananam. I think you all know that verse, one of the favorite verses of the renunciates. That if one, Matira, not Krishna, if his mind is not on Krishna, that even though he may get good advice, hey, you're not the body, buddy. You know, the body is made of stool, mucus, urine. You know, hear all these classes all the time, isn't it? The standard Sunday feast Hare Krishna class. You're not the body. Your girlfriend's body is just stool. Skin, the beauty of skin deep. If you peel off the skin, it is so beautiful. So go into a morgue. That's where they have dead bodies. And see. Anyway, so you hear all these statements, but still you get attracted. That's the problem. Like even the doctors, they're performing an operation, you know, opening up someone's body and, you know, just seeing the nature of the body. And then the next moment, they look at the nurse and they smile at her. That's pretty stupid, isn't it? Here's this beautiful lady, you're cutting her open, you know, and, you know, her blood is all over the place. And you're taking her heart out, and then you're sending hearts over to the nurse. So you don't get detached from seeing the nature of this world, even though it is like that. It is a fact. Matirna Krishna put it so even by good associate, but those with the good instruction, with opit padyeta grahavratanam, because you're really determined to enjoy this world. And then You're just going to be ignorant. And then, what is it? Punak purtas charvita charvananam, which is described in this verse. You're going to keep doing the same thing. And this great acharya, Albert Einstein, said, he defined insanity as keeping doing the same thing and thinking you're going to get a different result. That's insanity. That was his definition of insanity. It's a very important quote, isn't it? Keep doing the same thing, think you'll get a different result. So you're chewing the chewed. Well, I tried it before. This time it's going to be blissful. It's like going to an amusement park. In America, we have all these big amusement parks like Disneyland. And you look at the ride and think, wow, this is going to be blissful. I remember there was one ride, was it a roller coaster? You know what a roller coaster is? So I was thinking, oh, this is going to be so blissful. So I get on it, and it's just like, ah! You know, practically vomiting, you know. It's called call the roller coasters, I hate to use this word, a vomit comet. So, and you're just like, oh, when is it going to end? I was praying to Krishna, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you'll let it end. No, this is before I became a devotee. So it's like that. You think it's gonna be different this time. This ride is gonna give you happiness. This ride is even better. But it's just like Purnak Purnas Charvita Charvananam. Of course, the famous verse, chewing the already chewed. And the whole clue to that is Matirna Krishna. If one doesn't have his mind on Krishna, and we were mentioning last night to the devotees, the first regulative principle is what? To always remember Krishna. And the second one is never forget Krishna. So the whole point is Savai Manal Krishna Padaravindayo. To somehow fix the mind on Krishna. So that means while we're doing our devotional service, to be conscious of what we're doing rather than putting ourselves on automatic pilot. I mean, the last few days I've been giving this class about automatic pilot. Automatic pilot means that someone's driving a plane and they put the plane in pilot, automatic pilot, so they can just talk with each other. Talk with each other, eat prasadam, you know, chant their rounds and things like that. So once upon a time, there were two pilots who did that and they forgot that they were flying a plane. And the plane went 300 kilometers beyond the airport. So they were ready to shoot him down because they thought terrorists had hijacked the plane. So finally they radioed and they said, oh my God, we did that? And so they came back. And they landed because they lost their jobs, obviously. It's not a good idea. So we do devotional service on automatic pilot sometimes. Like one devotee said, wake me up when my rounds are done. That's called inattentive chanting. So the whole point is to be attentive while we're doing what we're doing, why we're doing it. Not only what we're doing, but why we're doing it. And this, if we have attentive chanting, attentive devotional service, then we're really connected with Krishna. Or attentive chanting of Vaishnava songs, or attentive chanting of the arati, or attentive eating prasadam. Like Prabhupada was very attentive. He wasn't, when Prabhupada ate prasadam, it wasn't mindless, you know, just enjoying senses. He was actually honoring prasadam. Like Prabhupada used the word honoring prasadam. You very rarely hear Prabhupada said, eat prasadam. He would say, honor prasadam. And Prabhupada would take 30 to 45 minutes to eat his prasadam. And he usually, unless he was at a social event or, you know, preaching event, he usually wouldn't talk. He would sit and face the wall when he was eating prasadam or honoring prasadam. So he was meditating on what he was doing. Actually, nowadays they call that mindful meditation. Heard of that before? Mindful meditation. Very famous. So we should have mindful meditation in the spiritual activities we do. Not their version of mindful meditation where you just meditate on your breathing. Feeling so peaceful. That's called ignorance. It's not shanti, it's ignorance. You might as well go to sleep. So we should be meditating on what we're doing while we're doing it, the meaning of it, what it means for us, and what our meaning or purpose in life is, and then we're very much connected with Krishna. So if we're doing that, then that's the higher taste. You know, rasa vajram rasa pyasap param drishtani vartate. That's the higher taste. So therefore, we don't succumb to this greed which is being mentioned here, and then we actually can have real love. Tadati pratigranati guyamakyati prichati bhunte bhujyate jiva. You know, the six loving exchanges. And then we feel compassion. Then we have real compassion by vanchakalpata ruvyascha kripa sindhu vyevacha. You know, kripa sindhu means an ocean of compassion. It means so much compassion that even if someone is torturing you, you love them. Of course, you don't love the torture. But Hariyas Thakur felt love for the people torturing him, whipping him in 22 marketplaces. So many examples of that amongst Vaishnavas. The compassion. Jesus Christ, of course, forgive them for they know not what they do. So many different stories like that. So that's the secret in Krishna consciousness, to always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. So, on that happy note, I think we went too long. So any questions or comments? Or problems or issues? Complaints? No? Oh my God. Questions? You know, someone should have some question here. No? Yes?
I'm going to a funeral today, so my question is, should I try to preach or should I just be quiet?
Well, it depends on whose funeral you're going to. If it's a devotee, you preach. And a family member? Friend, family member, something like that. It depends on your realization how to deal with a funeral for people who are not Krishna conscious. There's certain things that we can say that won't upset them. You know, like if you go to the funeral, let's say it's a non-devotee, right? And you say, well, because he ate so much meat, here's what's in store for him. And then you pull out this fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Said, have you all heard of Yamadutas before? They're like the KGB. So, and anyway, I think that's not a good idea. But did this person ever do devotional service? Or is this person related with the devotee?
Yes.
Okay. So you can say that this person is headed for a better destination because is it a relative of a devotee or
yes.
The devotee is his son or something? Or?
Granddaughter,
okay. So because your granddaughter is a very spiritual person, she's praying for you, she's doing Krishna consciousness in the name, so you'll be benefited. You don't say you'll take a human birth, otherwise you'd take a birth of a cockroach in your next life. No, you say the benefit is a better destination, which is true. Because if one has a family member who's a devotee, then that person, so many generations, like 10 generations backwards, forwards, becomes benefited. So by the mercy of Krishna, how are you going to go dress like that? Or? Carmi. You can dress in Western clothes. Ooh, it's so frightening. Dress like a carmi. What does it mean to dress like a carmi? We have some people in here who dress like carmis right now. Now we have to be careful about. I'm just teasing, because we say carmi clothes. And devotee clothes. But whatever you use in Krishna's service, like if you go on Sankirtan, you dress in Western clothes sometimes, right? Or no? Some people do. So those clothes are devotional clothes then, because you're using them for Krishna, aren't they? Would you say your Sankirtan clothes are karmi clothes? Mm-hmm. You have to use the right word. So anyway, so yeah, dress in Western clothes, and they know you're a devotee, right? Are you going to wear a wig too? You're going to go with your, you know, bald head and nice little pigtail at the back and everything. So they know you're a devotee. So, I mean, I don't know if you'll get a chance to speak in front of everybody else. But if you do, just say that, you know, they're going for better destination. This person has, you know, spiritual people in their family. There's different ways. Like at my father's funeral, I'll give an example. My father's funeral, that's exactly what I said. I said, you know, because my father has been very favorable to Krishna. Was this person favorable to their granddaughter? Yeah. So this person, my father's been favorable to spiritual life. I use spiritual life in a generic term, generic way. Then we know that God will take care of this person. Use the word God. So, you know, there's ways, and you just, if you can get away with chanting, it's always good too. You said, so let's do a prayer for this person. This is a prayer in Sanskrit. And you go, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's what I do, generally at funerals. It depends, you know, really depends on what sort of funeral, but I always try to add the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If it's a funeral for Indian people, then I always read the second chapter of the Gita as part of the funeral. But if they're Western people, I just at least get a few mantras out. Because that's important. Because that makes everything auspicious. Is it all right?
Yeah.
Somehow or other, without offending people, without like people thinking that you're using your funeral to preach your Krishna consciousness, then it's always good to bring some Krishna consciousness to a funeral. Because people are more open. The interesting thing is if you're, and you express, of course you have to express your sympathy too to the family, saying this is, you know, it's a lot of suffering that you're undergoing, that you've lost someone so dear to you. And if they see devotees being sympathetic, compassionate, not just preaching to them, then it's very powerful. Because people are very open at funerals to spirituality. I've seen people ask me questions who were never asked a question before about spiritual life. They'll say, what happens at the time of death? Because they know, you know, I'm connected to Krishna. And sometimes I'll wear Western clothes at a funeral too, you know, if it happens to be someone, people get offended by, you know, our dress. So, and they ask me questions. I remember my grandfather was getting ready to die before his funeral. And he never had any interest in spiritual things. And he looked at me and he said, what happens after death? And my grandmother didn't want him asking that question. She said, she said to him, just be quiet. Don't ask that question. And for the first time in his life, he told his wife to shut up. You know, other than that, he was very submissive. So he said, shut up! And she was going, oh my God, what's happened to him? And I explained. So funerals are very good places to, because people are very open. Hospitals too. You know, if people are sick, we should go to see them, especially devotees. Because devotees, we don't start preaching to them saying, you're not the body. The reason you're suffering from the pain from your operation is it's a token reaction for what you did bad, Prabhu. You know, when someone's in a hospital, they need some compassion, not just the philosophy thrown at them. Oh, they're experiencing, oh, I'm in pain. That's Maya, Prabhu. Can I have some pain relief? No, don't take pain relief. That's a drug. You can't break the regulative principles, Prabhu. Don't take morphine. You'll bloop. So, you know, at that time, it's all right to take a drug. So, yeah, so we go to hospitals. It's very important. Devotees I mean, the Christians, they have so many hospital ministries. They go and visit people in the hospitals. Sometimes they've convinced devotees to become Christians because they visited them in the hospital and devotees wouldn't visit them in the hospital. So, yeah, it's an important time to connect to people because people are very open to hearing, very open to compassion. And they'll like you. They'll think, what a nice person he is. Whatever he's doing, maybe it's good. Just like with my godbrother Jayananda, he was taking out the garbage at the temple. He's a very humble devotee. And some people would meet him and he would preach to them and they thought, wow, what a nice garbage man you have. Temple president must be much nicer than that. So he was the temple president. So the point is, yeah, we should be perfect gentlemen and ladies so that people become attracted to Krishna. So any other quick questions? Yes.
I have my graduation exams coming up, and I would like to know how can I find the balance between being detached from results and not making excuses to avoid hard work.
I think you should be attached to doing well in the exam because it's for Krishna. The whole point is we're not attached to the results for ourselves. Just like we should want to distribute more books and make more devotees, not so that, you know, I could see my name up in the Sankirtan newsletter and have everybody clap and say Hari Bol and get a trophy at the end of the year, but to please Krishna. So you should be thinking that to please Krishna, I want to do well in my exams. So I think attachment's good. I mean, ultimately, it's up to Krishna, but it's also up to you. There's five factors in action. If any of you studied Gita here? Anyone's heard of the Bhagavad Gita? Anyway. All right, so the Gita is a book spoken by Krishna, or conversations, 5,000 years ago. So there's five factors. We're one of the factors. You know, we're the doer, you know, the endeavor, the place, and then ultimately super soul. So you need Krishna to agree. But as they say, man proposes, God disposes. So you should be attached. Do the best you can. Think I'm representing Krishna, this movement. Devotees should always be the best at whatever they do. Best at eating prasadam. No, not that. But anyway, so the best. Let's try to be the best for Krishna. Not that other devotees should be worse than us, but we should do our best possible in everything we do. We should dress nicely, act nicely, everything the best. Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada said, his disciples are perfect ladies and gentlemen. That was his statement. Prabhupada was like that. He was such a gentleman with people. So any other questions? Nope. So thank you all. You have your... Oh, you have a question.
Maharaj, I was just wondering in terms of attaching the mind to Krishna to get rid of anattas.
Yeah.
For example, in Japa, one may chant, endeavor to fix the mind on the holy name.
Mm-hmm.
But some anattas, very subtle, come up, you never thought you had them. So obviously it must bring the mind back. How to persevere in facing this?
Okay. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says all the offenses are due to inattentive chanting. Actually, it's interesting. Sometimes we explain the inattentive chanting as it's also offensive to be inattentive. But the inattentive chanting is one that encompasses all the other offenses. So how do you control the mind in chanting? That's a whole subject matter, but I'll just be very brief about it. First thing is, before you start chanting, think of why you're chanting in the morning, as far as japa is concerned. What is the reason? And if the reason is because I have to, because I'll get punished by Krishna if I don't, it's not a good reason. Yeah, that's not a good reason for doing anything in Krishna consciousness. That's a negative reason, and it's not really inspiring. It won't help you fix the mind. Think of a positive reason. Why are you chanting? And there's many positive reasons, like connecting with Krishna, pleasing my spiritual master, developing compassion, helping other living entities, helping someone that I'm praying for. You know, there's all sorts of different reasons. So it's called the sankalpa, or determination, before we do something like that. And then having that in the back of our mind while we're chanting really will help focus the mind while we're chanting on the sound vibration. And, you know, some devotees say, well, you should meditate on Krishna's pastimes, but that's a very advanced stage. I mean, Prabhupada said you should hear the sound of the holy name and understand it is non-different from Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigra, etc. So I think having an intention or a sankalpa is very good. And you can even keep bringing that back as you're chanting your rounds. You know, why am I chanting? What's the reason for this? I mean, it's like anything in this world, even materially, you know. Why do people do austerities? And, you know, maybe to make money or please their family members or whatever. But there's always has to be a reason behind it. If you don't have a reason, then it's inattentive. You just get spaced out. There has to be motivation. Motivation is 90% of everything. You know, what is my motivation? Motivation means the reason for doing something. So, and then if you find yourself, your mind wandering, then you bring back, then you just think of your motivation again. I'm doing this. I mean, sometimes I chant, and my motivation is to help a particular individual who's struggling to Krishna consciousness. And then I just think, well, yes, that's the reason I'm chanting. And then it keeps me more focused on the sound of the holy name. And, you know, sometimes I'm chanting in order to become more empowered to preach Krishna consciousness. And that keeps me more focused. Whatever, the sankalpa, it may change from day to day. But it has to come from the heart, not from the brain. See, that's an important point, too. That generally we give ourselves reasons from the brain. But that's not really where the soul resides. Krishna doesn't say, you know, that manasashtani, you know, the soul is residing in the brain. This is where the soul is. You know, like if you love someone, you say, you know, I'm giving you my heart. You don't say, I'm giving you my brain. You got a Valentine's Day card? Your Valentine's Day? You don't have a picture of a brain, you know. Or a foot, unless you're a spiritual master or something. But they are a picture of the heart. And so that's the heart is the seat of emotions. Emotions. So that means, what am I feeling, you know? What, or just, Krishna, get me out of the material world. I nanda tanuja kinkuram patitam mam vishame bhavam buddho. I mean, that's a powerful one. Like Prabhupada said, we should be crying like a child is crying for his mother. You know, the Shikshashika prayer. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I am suffering in this horrible material world. Please help me. Fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. You know, find a verse in the Shikshashika that resonates with you that day. Generally, the last verse of the Shikshashika is way beyond what we're capable of. Krishna, you're free to do anything you want to me. It's all right. I'm not ready to say that. Phew! I'd be scared to say that. Krishna, you know, smash me, crush me. No, no. Krishna, I say the opposite. Krishna, don't smash me. Don't crush me. You know, help me, Krishna. That I can say. So one should pray in a way that's appropriate with their level of realization. That's the point. Don't imitate someone else. You know, Krishna, I want to be a gopi. Like that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Gopi, gopi. You know, that's beyond, maybe not beyond your realization, but it's beyond my realization. So I do something that's in accordance with my adhikar. And, you know, be humble enough to realize that your adhikar may not be too high. It may be just like, help Krishna. Krishna, help. You know, or like, you know, like Dhruva Maharaj. Nobody criticized Dhruva Maharaj. He was just asking for a big kingdom. But he got Krishna. So he understood his adhikar. Dhruva Maharaj wasn't concentrated on the gopis. but he's our Krishna. So we have to see, you know, what reason do we approach it? Because ultimately, the impure reason will be purified, obviously. Akama sarva kama moksha kama daradi tibrena bhakti yogena yajetu purusham param. Whether one is free of material desires, full of material desires, or desirous of liberation, one should worship Krishna forceful tibrena bhakti yogena yajetu purusham param. I think we have to end now, because Ananta told me I have to end, so. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Panchatattva Ki Jai.